Hall of Mirrors, tales of horror and the grotesque, written and performed for podcast by Mike Bennett. This podcast is intended for an adult audience. Hello, listeners, and welcome back to the Hall of Mirrors. It's been quite a while since last we spoke. The last time we were here, I promised you a creepy story for the festive season, and then I promptly disappeared. Makes you think, doesn't it? I could have fallen down a manhole into another dimension, or been hit by a bus. Though, as it happens, it was simply a small family dilemma that required me to drop everything and to go home to England in the weeks leading up to Christmas. Quite unexciting. No other dimensions or bus accidents. Just simple family life, which might sometimes feel like another dimension or a bus accident. But of course, it isn't. At least most of the time. Anyway, I'm back, and so are you. Back here upon this fog-enshrouded, rotting ruin of a pier. Ah, perhaps 100 summers past, it was a place of fun and joy, of pipe organ melodies and all kinds of rides, ringing with the laughter and screams of young people, pushing hot dogs and ice creams into their joyful faces. But now, it's just a ghost of its former self, jutting out from what has become the darkest edge of the internet, condemned as unsafe and closed to all, save you and I. Me with my tales to tell, and you with your ears keen to hear them. So bring your ears and come with me. Let the fog swallow us up as we once again approach the Hall of Mirrors. You know you can still get hot dogs and ice cream on this pier, but trust me, you don't want to try them. Inside now, we stroll through the Hall of Mirrors itself, past these shimmering portals that lead to old friends. Martin, forever hunting trolls. Dave and Jack, so uncomfortably close in the grave. Past lucky Jim Haslett and his sometime winning lottery technique. Here, Charles and Dr. DeVere discussing unorthodox hair transplants, and beyond this glass, Badger and his filthy pigeon adventure. And now, this as yet unentered world, the sixth mirror. Watch now, as the glass stirs and swirls its liquid muscles, shaping itself into another view. Ah, it's a pub interior. The air thick with smoke and conversation, obviously a time before the smoking ban. So if you're a smoker, it's your lucky day. Unless you also happen to be in the market for a house. Because if you should fall for the patter of our soon-to-be newest chum, you might find yourself the latest unlucky owner of Poacher's Cottage.
So, what's this story that I'm going to enjoy so much then?
Said Jim Deacon as he and his boss, Ken Chase, pushed their way into the smoke and lunchtime crowds of the Pig and Whistle.
Wait until we're settled, said Ken. Here.
He handed Jim a £20 note.
Get me a lasagna and chips and a pint of Foster's. I have to go for a piss. Cheers, mate.
He turned and made his way in the direction of the gents' toilet. Jim went to the bar,
sighing at how Ken's bladder always managed to need emptying the moment they entered the pub, the time when the bar was at its busiest. He wove himself into the crowd and raised Ken's £20 note to a point where the bar staff might notice its subtle twitching and fluttering among the many others that twitched and fluttered before them. A short while later, after Jim had managed to place his order and extricate himself from the crowd, he made his way to where Ken was relaxing at a table by the window. As he approached, Jim noticed that Ken was admiring the contents of a copy of one of the more down-market tabloid newspapers someone had left behind.
"Who's on page three?"
said Jim, sitting down opposite the older man and setting two pints of Foster's onto the table.
"I don't know," said Ken, smiling. "But the birds on pages 9 and 10 aren't too bad."
He turned in his seat and held the paper open to reveal a riot of female flesh.
"Put it down, Ken," said Jim, embarrassed. "You'll offend someone."
Ken gave a short laugh and tossed the paper onto the seat beside him.
"Huh, what's so offensive about the female form? It's only girls showing off what God gave them."
"Yeah, but it's you showing off what God gave them that I'm worried about," said Jim. "Waving pictures of naked women all over the place? You'll get us barred, you will."
"Oh, don't be such a prude," Ken chuckled.
He held his pint across the table.
"Cheers."
Jim clinked glasses and took a sip. Then he said, "So, are you going to tell me this story or what?"
"Oh, yeah," said Ken. "Poacher's Cottage."
"Poacher's Cottage? Sounds pretty, I think."
"It is," said Ken. "Pretty bloody haunted."
"Really?" Ken nodded.
"Oh, yeah. As haunted a house as any I've ever heard of."
"Blimey," said Jim. "So what's the deal then?"
"We're selling it, mate," said Ken. "That's the deal. Ghosts and all."
Jim raised his eyebrows.
"Well, that should be a challenge."
He held up a small imaginary frame.
"Two-bed cottage with gas-fired central heating and nice views of the surrounding countryside. Reduced for quick sale due to the nightly moaning of the restless dead."
Ken smiled.
No, but you started out nicely."
He broke off as the barmaid came over with two plates of food.
"Lasagna and chips and a cheddar ploughman's,"
said the barmaid brightly. Ken looked at the girl with open admiration.
"Yeah. Thanks, love. Lasagna's for me."
"And I'm the ploughman's. Thanks," said Jim.
The barmaid set the plates down before them.
"Here we are, then. Enjoy."
She smiled and turned back to the bar. Ken stared at her retreating behind.
"Would you?"
Would I what?" said Jim, picking up his knife and fork.
"Her, eh?"
Ken nodded after the barmaid.
"Would you?"
Jim looked at the girl, then back to Ken.
"She's a bit young for you, mate."
"No, mate. She'd do me nicely, she would."
"Tell that to your Maureen."
"Oh, like she'd give a monkey's,"
said Ken, upending the dimpled vinegar bottle and sprinkling liberal quantities all over his food.
"Of course she would."
"No, mate. She's bar scaring. I tell you, as long as Maureen's got her Smirnoff and her fags, I could be shagging that bird on the living room carpet and she wouldn't notice."
Jim watched with his usual thinly veiled horror at Ken's appetite for condiments. The pungent aroma of vinegar arose from the hot ships like CS gas as Ken, now brandishing the salt, began shaking out a small snowstorm over his lunch. Jim pointed to a chip at the edge of the plate.
I think you missed one."
Ken shook salt onto the chip.
"Oh, thanks. Anyway, enough of my festering marriage. I was telling you about Poacher's Cottage, wasn't I?"
"Yeah," said Jim. "Go on."
Ken picked up the ketchup and squeezed out a thick red line over his chips.
"Well, it's just come on the market. I've already managed to get some viewers lined up and champing at the bit to see it."
"Who's the seller?"
"Oh, some bloke. His mum was living there. Yeah, but now it seems she's gone and popped her clogs. So, he's getting shot of it."
"And what did she die of? Ghosts scare her to death or something, did they?"
Hypothermia,
Ken managed to say through a mouthful of food. Jim nodded, understanding. Well, last winter was a cold one.
Yeah, but she died at the end of May.
Jim's knife stalled in spreading a knob of hard butter onto his roll. He looked up. Ken smiled.
Weird, eh?
Yeah. Jim took a bite of his roll. So what's the story?
Well, the old woman had been living in the family home in Fleasham, along with her husband. But after he died, the place suddenly felt too big. You know how it is.
Yeah, and there's a council tax to think of as well.
Exactly. Anyway, she and the son decided to sell it. And with the money they got for it, they were able to buy a flat in Brighton for him and a nice little cottage just outside of Rainwood Village for the old girl.
Jim nodded. Poacher's cottage.
That's the one. So anyway, the mum moves in and she loves it. Or at least, she did at first.
Oh, is this the bit where it starts getting spooky? Ken gestured with his fork at Jim's face. A lump of lasagna quivered with emphasis.
Oh yeah, mate. Very bloody spooky.
Well, go on then.
So, the mum starts complaining that the house is too cold. Freezing, in fact. Of course, the son thinks it's just her old age and tells her to turn the heating up. She says she's done that, and it's still too cold. So, he gets her an electric blanket and a fan heater, but she's still not happy. She reckons the whole house is like a meat locker.
I've heard of that in haunted houses, said Jim. A cold spot.
It's like a focus of ghostly energy. A busy area. Like a hot spot of paranormal activity.
Hot spot? Cold spot? Make your mind up, Jim. Anyway, whatever the case, according to the old dear, the whole house is a bloody cold spot. She tells the son she wants to move. Says the house is haunted. But he says she's just being hysterical.
He sounds like a nice guy, said Jim with a hint of sarcasm.
Has he ever thought about becoming an estate agent?
Ken smiled sourly.
Oh, ha, bloody ha. I take it you like your job.
Sorry, Ken. Couldn't resist it. Anyway, you were saying.
Yeah,
said Ken, taking a sip of lager.
So, the mum decides to hire one of those psychic medium characters to check out the, what do you call it?
Jim shrugged. Vibes?
Yeah, said Ken. Vibes will do. She gets in a medium to check out the vibes.
And?
Well, he had a bit of a walk around, touching stuff, feeling for vibes, you know. And,
Ken leaned across the table confidentially.
Guess what happened?
Jim slowly forked a wadded leaf of lettuce into his mouth and shook his head.
He said there were troubled spirits there.
Meaning the place was haunted?
Ken nodded.
Very bad vibes.
I see. So what happened then? She told her son, I presume?
Oh, yeah, said Ken emphatically.
And?
Ken sat back.
Well, at the time he thought it was all a load of bollocks. He told her to stop wasting her money on con men and get herself a cocker spaniel or something. Then, a month later, she was dead.
Blimey, said Jim.
Well, it sounds like an haunted house to me, all right.
Yeah, of course. The son was beside himself with grief. He blamed himself.
Quite right too, by the sound of it.
Yeah, well, once she was dead and the cottage reverted to him, he decided to do a bit of research into the place.
And I take it he didn't like what he found.
No, he didn't.
It's a shame he didn't do that earlier, eh?
Yeah, well, there you go. There's nothing quite so fascinating as your own fuck-ups in retrospect.
You should get that printed on a plaque and hang it over the office door.
Ken frowned.
You'll go too far one of these days, sunshine.
Oh, come on, Ken. I'm only having a laugh.
Yeah, well, you're the only one laughing.
Sorry, mate, said Jim, holding up a placating hand. So anyway, how come this seller's so upfront about all this?
I'm surprised he didn't keep it to himself. Ken shrugged.
Well, he says as far as he's concerned, he's fucked up once with this place already, and he doesn't want to fuck up again. He's putting it on the market, and he wants the truth to be known up front. Feels it's bad karma or something, knowing what he knows now.
So you're going to tell the buyers, then?
The hell I am. I want to sell the place, don't I? All that karma stuff's a load of bollocks.
Jim smiled, unsurprised.
Huh. No chance of you getting bitten by the bug of human conscience, then?
Ken laughed.
Ha! Ha! Oh, no, mate. He'd break his fangs trying to bite my arse, and no mistake. Let conscience prey on the hippies, and leave the world for capitalists like me.
Jim shook his head.
Oh, you're evil, Ken. No, Jim. I'm a successful estate agent.
Jim smiled.
So, tell me then, what did this guy's research reveal?
Ken leaned in over his plate again.
Well, it turns out that more than one person has come to a sticky end in Poacher's Cottage.
Jim leaned in to meet him.
Go on.
First of all, Ken continued, there's the bloke the place is named after, the poacher himself. It seems about 100 or so years back, this poacher comes home from poaching one day and finds his missus shagging another man. Now, the last thing you want in your hands in a situation like that is a double-barrel shotgun. But, being a poacher, just in from work, that's precisely what he's got.
He shot them?
Yep. And he reloaded and turned the thing on himself. Literally blew his head off.
Bloody hell, said Jim.
Yeah, and there's more.
Ken took a sup of his lager, smacked his lips, and went on.
After the ceiling was cleaned and what have you, the place was sold on and another couple moved in.
And what happened to them?
To him,
Ken corrected.
The man of the house. Seems he developed an allergy to something, but they couldn't figure out what it was. Shortness of breath,
said Ken, putting his hand to his chest for emphasis.
Asthma attacks. They grew more and more severe until eventually he croaked for good. The wife moved out shortly after. She reckoned her husband was allergic to the house itself.
Or perhaps it was mould, said Jim. Old place like that. Mould can trigger asthma. Oh, I know, believe me. But anyway, go on. I presume there's more.
Ken nodded, pushing his plate aside and reaching into his jacket for his cigarettes.
Oh, yes. Next was another couple, around the time of the Second World War. They built themselves an Anderson shelter out in the back garden. Then, one morning, they were found stone cold dead in it.
Bomb?
Ken shook his head.
No bombs fell round here, Jim.
So what were they doing down there?
Ken lit his cigarette and shrugged.
Sheltering from something else?
What did they die of?
They suffocated.
Gas?
Where from? It was an air raid shelter, not a coal mine.
Jim picked up Ken's cigarettes. He gave Ken a look that asked for permission to take one.
Thought you were giving up,
said Ken.
Cutting down,
said Jim, taking out a cigarette.
So is that it, or is there more?
Ken sniffed.
No, that's pretty much it. It remained empty for ages. Word spread locally. Gossip, rumour. It became known as the village haunted house. No one from around that part of the world would touch it. But then our guy comes along, a stranger to the area, and sees the place on the local estate agent's books. He snaps it up, thinks he's found a bargain. Sure, it needed some doing up and modernization, but he could afford it.
More was the pity, eh? So, where is it then?
You know St. Stephen's Church on the old Rainwood Road?
Jim nodded.
Well, you drive on down as if you're heading into Rainwood Village for about a mile, then you turn left, like you're going down to Fernley Bottom, and Poacher's Cottage is the first place you pass on the right-hand side.
Oh, really?
Said Jim.
Nice area.
Ken nodded.
Oh, yeah, it's a great part of the world round there. Quiet, lovely views all around, and good road links to the village with its shops, pubs and restaurants, plus the major railway link to London.
Yeah, you don't need to sell it to me, mate. What are you asking for it?
Top whack, said Ken. Place like that, sell it in no time.
And to hell with the ghosts, eh?
Oh, too right. At the end of the day, Jim, that's just rumour and nonsense as far as I'm concerned. Now, if the house had damp or dry rot, then maybe we'd have something to contend with. But ghosts? Huh, no problem. As far as we're concerned, if it doesn't offend the eyes, the ears or the nose, then it's not going to come between us and the maximum possible asking price.
But what if the eventual buyer learns of the history of the house afterwards? Said Jim. Say, from a neighbour. Won't they be pissed off with you? I mean, they might even try to sue you for withholding information about the place.
What can they do? If it doesn't show up on a surveyor's report, then as far as I'm aware, they haven't got a leg to stand on. I mean, really, can you imagine what it would be like if we were legally obliged to reveal every bit of gossip and local folklore attached to a property before we sold it? Jesus Christ, we'd never sell anything.
Jim sipped his pint. Well, I suppose. But it still seems, I don't know, dodgy.
Dodgy is the name of the game we're in, Jim. If you can't take a bit of dodgy, you should get out of a state agency and go into something more wholesome.
Like what? Arms dealing? Ken smiled thinly.
You just can't help yourself, can you?
Sorry, boss. But seriously, though, what if your new buyer does, say, die?
So what? Ken shrugged. Everybody dies.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like the curse of Poacher's Cottage, isn't it? Ken laughed.
Ha ha! You've been watching too much Scooby-Doo, Jim.
Yeah, I wish. Still, when you think about it, though, this could all work out in your favour. You could be on to quite a nice little earner here. A cash cow. Ken sat forward slightly.
How so?
Well, you sell the place. The new owner dies. You sell it again. The next owner dies. And so on. You could wind up selling it every other year.
Yeah, or maybe even more often. Though I'd probably have to cut the ghost in for a share of the profits.
A phantom partner, said Jim.
Ah, the best kind of partners to have, mate. Dead ones.
Ken raised his glass.
Cheers. Here's the Poacher's Cottage. Long may it return to our sale window.
Jim clinked his glass. Cheers. They drank, both of them draining their glasses. Then Jim glanced towards the bar. The queues had died down. He turned back to Ken. Do we have time for another? Ken looked at his watch.
Yeah, fuck it. Let's have another. Lindsay will be able to manage on her own for a bit longer.
Right, said Jim. Same again.
Same again, mate, said Ken, handing Jim his glass.
Jim took it and set off for the bar, leaving Ken to sit back and settle his attention once again amidst the riot of female flesh in the discarded but well-thumbed tabloid. It was almost a year later when Jim entered the office of Ken Chase Properties and thrust a copy of the local newspaper over Ken's desk. Ken looked from Jim to the paper, then back to Jim.
Yes?
Page 7, said Jim. Ken put down his pen.
Is this your excuse for being late?
Jim waggled the paper. Page 7, check it out. Ken took the paper and opened it at page 7. After a moment, he looked up at Jim. Huh? Jim nodded.
What do you reckon to that, then?
Ken returned his attention to the newspaper and read on in silence. Lindsay, the office secretary, looked up from behind her PC.
What's going on?
Nothing,
said Ken.
Nothing?
Jim exclaimed. That's the couple what bought that Poacher's Cottage place off you last year. Ken looked up and shrugged.
So?
So?
Jim snorted in disbelief.
They're dead, Ken.
Lindsay's hands went to her mouth.
Oh, my God. What happened?
Says here they committed suicide, said Ken. Nothing remarkable about that.
Oh, come on, Ken, said Jim. That cottage? You remember the stories about that place, don't you? The other people. The dead people. The ghosts.
Ghosts? Said Lindsay.
What ghosts? What dead people?
That's just a load of bollocks, Linz, said Ken, tossing the paper into his out tray. Jim's just getting all excited over nothing.
Jim shook his head, taking the paper and passing it across the office to Lindsay.
Oh, I don't think so, Ken. It's exactly like what we were saying in a pub last year when this place first came on the market. About what if the new owners went and died? Well, here they are, dead.
Oh, don't get hysterical, Jim, said Ken wearily. It's first thing Monday morning. I've got about a million things to do before midday, and so have you. Why don't you just make a cup of tea and settle down with the Wellington Street sale? In fact, you can make us all a cup of tea. Right, Lindsay?
What dead people are you going on about?
Said Lindsay, turning through the pages of the newspaper.
Page 7, said Jim.
He came around alongside her and pointed to the article.
Here, see? There's a picture of them.
Oh, yeah,
said Lindsay, seeing the picture in the headline.
Couple in gas suicide pact.
Yeah, said Jim. See that cottage? The one they're standing in front of in the picture? We sold them that place a year ago. It's a haunted house.
Bollocks, said Ken.
Oh,
said Lindsay, reading the article.
And now they're dead. How dreadful. Didn't it bother them, the fact that it was haunted?
They didn't know, said Jim. We neglected to tell them.
Lindsay looked up over the newspaper.
You didn't tell them? You kept something like that a secret?
Of course we did, said Ken, pushing his seat back and getting to his feet. You don't go around advertising every cock and bull story that's muttered about a place in the local boozer, do you? Jesus Christ! Every house has a history. This very office is probably standing on land that's had some blood spilt on it at some stage in history.
Is it?
Lindsay asked, suddenly looking worried.
I don't know, said Ken. But why not? Maybe there was a battle here once. Romans, Vikings, Normans, Roundheads. Think about it. There have been battles, murders and executions all over this country. But you don't see ghosts everywhere, do you?
Well, no, said Jim. But...
But bollocks, said Ken. There are no more ghosts in Poacher's Cottage than there are in your house.
Still, said Lindsay, you might have told them. I mean, how couldn't you?
Ken threw up his hands in a gesture of hopeless defeat.
I don't know what to tell you.
He shook his head.
It's business, for God's sake.
Lindsay had returned to the story.
It says here that the husband, a Mr. Evan Collier, I remember that name, it says here that he and his wife Rachel gassed themselves.
She made a face.
Oh, my God. They were found in each other's arms in the kitchen. The oven door was open and the room was filled with gas. No suicide note has been found, but police are not treating their deaths as suspicious.
She lowered the paper.
So they just sat in the kitchen together and gassed themselves. Oh, that's horrible. Why would they do such a thing?
Yeah, and no note either, said Jim, eyeing Ken knowingly. It's funny, you know. It never seems suicidal to me. What about you, Ken?
Why are you asking me? Do I look like a psychiatrist?
I'm just saying it doesn't sound like suicide to me. That's all.
Oh, so what does it sound like to you then, Sherlock?
Said Ken.
Well, I don't know, said Jim. I just remember you saying about that old lady who died of hypothermia in May. And that couple in the war who suffocated in their air raid shelter.
And this leads you to conclude what?
Ken interrupted.
that the poacher's ghost sat the pair of them down and stood guard over them with his shotgun, while his phantom wife and her lover locked all the doors and windows and turned the gas on?
You shouldn't speak ill of the dead. It's not nice, especially when they died as awfully as these poor people did.
Well, I'm only saying what Sherlock Deacon here thinks. Isn't that right, mate?
I didn't say anything about poachers and shotguns, said Jim. I said I don't know. He went over to his desk and sat down. I just think it's all a bit creepy, that's all.
So it's a bit creepy. But don't get things out of proportion, mate. It's a coincidence, that's all.
Sure, said Jim, leafing through some papers on his desk and not looking up. It's just a coincidence.
Good,
said Ken, rubbing his hands as if he were washing them clean of the subject.
Now then, who wants a nice cup of tea, eh? I'll make it.
Are you sure you remember how to?
Said Lindsay.
Less of the cheek, Linz, said Ken. Do you want a cup or not? I won't offer twice.
Yes, please.
Jim?
Jim looked up from his papers and nodded. Yeah, thanks.
Right then, said Ken. So, how does everybody take it?
No sugar for me,
said Lindsay.
And I take one, said Jim.
Okay,
said Ken, disappearing through the rear office door in the direction of the kitchen.
Excellent. Three cups of tea coming up.
It was later that day when the call from Canada came. Lindsay picked up the receiver and spoke in the bright and cheerful manner that Ken insisted they use when answering the phone.
Ken Chase Properties, how may I help you?
For a moment, all she could hear was a quiet hiss on the line and a number of faint clicking sounds, as if the call were being routed through a series of switchboards. Then a voice came through. It sounded distant, unclear.
Could I speak with Mr. Chase, please?
Sorry,
said Lindsay.
Could you speak up, please? It's rather a bad line.
I'm calling long distance,
said the caller, raising his voice a little.
I'd like to speak to Mr. Chase, if he's available.
Lindsay looked over at Ken, who sat playing solitaire on his PC.
One moment, please. Can I ask who's calling?
My name's Collier. Richard Collier. It's concerning the sale of my late brother's house.
Lindsay's breath caught in her chest for a second. Then she said,
Could you just hold on a moment, please, Mr. Collier?
She put Collier on hold and called over to Ken.
Ken, it's the brother of that poor dead man on the phone.
Ken frowned.
Eh? What poor dead man?
That suicide couple in the paper. It's that man's brother. He's in Canada.
Jim's face suddenly appeared over his computer monitor.
Collier?
Lindsay nodded. Jim looked at Ken. Ken beckoned to Lindsay with his hand, as if summoning Collier in person.
Put him through!
Lindsay transferred the call and put the receiver down. Ken's phone rang, and he picked it up.
Hello, Ken Chase speaking. Can I help you?
Mr. Chase, my name is Richard Collier. I'm calling regarding the property of my late brother.
Oh, Mr. Collier! We were just reading in the local paper about your brother's tragic passing. May I just say how sorry we all are here for your loss?
Thank you, Mr. Chase. I'm in Canada at the moment, but I'll be over to England shortly to arrange my brother's funeral in conjunction with the family of my late sister-in-law.
Yes, yes, of course, said Ken.
I'll also be handling the closure of my brother's various interests and affairs, including the sale of his house.
Ken smiled and sat up.
Well, we'd be delighted to help in any way we can, Mr. Collier. Any way at all.
Thank you. I know my brother purchased the property through you, and, well, I imagine you're reasonably well acquainted with the place.
Oh, yes, very well acquainted, Mr. Collier.
Very good. Then I imagine you'd be the best qualified estate agent in the area to sell it on again.
Oh, we'd be delighted, sir.
Ken winked at Jim.
I believe we still have the property on file somewhere in our database. I'm sure we can make everything go very smoothly for you, especially at such a difficult time.
Jim frowned.
Thank you, Mr. Chase. I'll arrange with my brother's solicitor to have the keys dropped around to your office later today or tomorrow. I'd be grateful if you could pop out to the place in person sometime to check it over. Naturally, we'd like to get it on the market as soon as possible.
Of course, Mr. Collier, said Ken. I'll get out there just as soon as I get the key.
That's very kind of you. Well, I'll no doubt see you shortly.
Of course, sir. And once again, my deepest sympathies to you and your family.
Thank you, Mr. Chase. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Collier.
Ken lowered the receiver back onto its cradle and looked up at Jim and Lindsay, who were both watching him in silence.
Well, how about that then, boys and girls?
What?
Said Lindsay. Ken nodded at Jim.
Remember what we were saying about Poacher's Cottage coming back onto our books again within a year?
Oh no, Ken, said Jim, almost in a whisper.
A smile rose onto Ken's face, spreading out as it always did when he scented imminent and considerable profit.
Oh yes, Jim. Oh yes.
Oh yes, listeners. Poacher's Cottage is back once more in the window of Ken Chase Properties. If you're interested in viewing the property, I should be able to arrange an appointment for you to have a look at it next week. Though I think, rather than go with Ken, you'd best come with me for a first and last trip out to Poacher's Cottage. Next time, in the Hall of Mirrors.